Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Soho Insider podcast. My name is Saad Usmani. I'm the chief of the myeloma service at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. And I'm joined by my wonderful colleague, Dr. Niels van der Donk from the Netherlands, who has played a pivotal role in advancing several of the immunotherapies in multiple myeloma over the last few years. And it's been a pleasure working with Niels on so many different protocols and projects in translational research endeavors. Niels, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Sam.
It looks like you're still wrapping up clinic or in clinic. So, we'll try to remain focused. And I just want to get, your take on how we've been able to move the bispecific antibodies targeting BCMA, GPRC5D, and even FCRH5 through early phase clinical trials, And where do you see, those therapies going?
So we have both been working a lot on development of the bispecific antibodies targeting BCMA and GPRC5D. They have now an important role in the treatment of patients with triple class exposed and triple class refractory multiple myeloma. In the past, there was not so much that we could do for these patients, but now CAR T-cell therapy, the bispecific antibodies are really providing substantial benefit to these patients with high response rates, deep response rates. A lot of patients achieve VGPR or CR, and this translates into durable remissions with a median progression-free survival of 12 to 15 months. I still have patients from the phase one program that are still in CR almost 5 or 6 years after starting with the bispecific antibody treatment. So that's very good results. We can also sequence these bispecifics. We can move from a BCMA bispecific to a GPRC5D bispecific or vice versa. We have learned that we need a break from the bispecifics. I think it's important to have an interval of at least 3 to 6 months to allow the T cells to recover when you move from one to the other bispecific, if that's possible, of course, because sometimes these patients are so heavily pretreated, have such an aggressive relapse that is not always a possibility. In the meantime, various studies are ongoing whereby the bispecifics move to earlier lines of treatment. I think T-cell fitness is better preserved in earlier lines of therapy. So I'm looking forward to the results from the large phase 3 studies. But we know already from subgroup analyses that earlier lines of therapy translate into better efficacy of the bispecific antibody. And of course, we are also learning about combination strategies.
I think all very exciting developments in the field. I think one thing that has really become more evident is the patterns of or the mechanisms of resistance. You alluded to the T cell fitness component. Maybe disease burden also has to play a role in what we can ask from the bispecifics to do. But if we look at the patterns of BCMA antigen escape or mutation, it's one of the phenomenon is seeing subclones that may actually reduce the expression of BCMA, by which they, those clones can potentially evade the bispecific T cell engagement strategy. However, you also see a small proportion of patients that can actually have mutations, in the epitope where the bispecifics are supposed to identify and bind with BCMA. Most of that data comes from the relapsed situation. Can you just share your thoughts, what you feel is we'll find in the newly diagnosed setting, whether it actually makes sense to move towards more genomic-based diagnostic tools to identify patients in that fashion?
Yeah, so you already alluded to it. Antigen escape is quite common after as a mechanism of relapse during BCMA therapy. Also during GPRC5D treatment, it seems to be even more common that the target antigen is lost or is mutated. So I think we need new tools in the lab to look at expression of the target antigen, to look at the mutational status of the epitope that's being targeted, especially when you want to move from one BCMA targeted therapy to another, because, you have, for example, published in Blood Advances, I think, a very interesting case report where you move from teclistamab or an ADC, belantamab, to CAR T, to cilta-cel or ide-cel, and you showed that when you have no BCMA expression on the cell, that it makes no sense to go to such an expensive treatment. So I think, especially when you want to move from one treatment to the other, targeting BCMA, expression testing makes sense. These mutations or genetic events are often acquired, but can be present as a very small subclone at the time of initiation of bispecific treatment. So we have to learn whether it makes sense to test for such abnormalities at the time of starting a bispecific antibody. And maybe in the future, that may also provide guidance of how to approach these patients. Maybe those are the patients that will really benefit from dual antigen targeting from the very beginning.
Now, you bring up the dual antigen targeting, and I was going to ask you, you know, does the future now belong to the trispecific antibodies? And, you know, is that a strategy that we are all going to move towards to mitigate, you know, this concern about antigen escape, and maybe targeting two different antigens might actually be a better strategy as long as the safety profile looks okay? Just share your thoughts. I think you actually just presented these data a few weeks ago as well.
Yeah, we presented the there are several trispecifics, in fact, in development, and I was happy to present, according for my co-authors, the data on J&J-5322, a BCMA and GPRC5D dual-targeting trispecific antibody with low CD3 affinity, so it can be given every 4 weeks from the very beginning. And we demonstrated a very promising overall response rate of 100% in patients treated at the recommended phase 2 dose that were not yet exposed to BCMA or GPRC5D targeted therapies. And 70% of these patients achieved a complete remission. And this translated into a promising progression-free survival of 95% at 1 year. I think also the safety profile looks promising. Maybe the more directed targeting of tumor cells that express both GPRC5D and BCMA results in a good safety profile, less oral adverse events, almost no patients experiencing weight loss. So I think the data look very promising. However, we need more patients treated at the RP2D. We need longer follow-up to look at the durability of the response. But I think the data looks good, especially when you consider that when you move from one bispecific to the other, that the efficacy of the second bispecific antibody is substantially lower than the efficacy of the first bispecific, probably due to reduced T-cell fitness or reduced T-cell numbers. So I think the future looks bright for the trispecifics. We are also looking at combination strategies now in patients with earlier lines of therapy, less prior lines of therapy. We are even testing the trispecific now in combination with Dara in newly diagnosed patients in the future, hopefully again challenging a transplant, which is still a key component in Europe for the newly diagnosed myeloma patient. But I think the data looks very promising, not only for J&J-5322, but Dr. Kwach from Australia also showed at ESCO some update from ISB-2001. That's a trispecific that targets BCMA and CD38. And also she showed high response rates, promising response duration, also in patients that were previously exposed to BCMA-targeted therapies.
This is great. I think this is a great overview, and it gives me a pause to think about, you know, 14, 15 years ago, we were used to talk about 20, 25% response rates, 3-4 months PFS in PIMID refractory patient population. And now we're talking about 65 to 100% response rates and median PFS of a year and a half or two or even longer in more heavily pretreated patients than we had in the past. So you are right, the future is bright. And then, you know, I do feel that, you know, to cure the disease, we will likely, you know, need total immune therapy. One thing that we did not talk about is the potential role of antibody drug conjugates, but, you know, I think that those might also be strategies for certain patient populations, Niels. And, you know, and it's great to have all these options, you know, because we are testing different hypotheses, and there might be different roads to that, you know, road to success and cure for myeloma.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the combination strategy of belantamab with pomalidomide and bortezomib is very promising. And we can probably use the belantamab less frequent than was done in the study, and thereby reduce ocular toxicities. So there are different tools for different subsets of patients to get the best results.
Absolutely. And there are some GPRC5D focused ADCs also in clinical development too. Niels, this was great. You know, thank you so much for joining me for this podcast. I hope our audience got a whirlwind tour of what's happening with bispecific and trispecifics, how they're moving into the frontline setting. And you heard it from one of the world's leading experts on that subject. You know, hope you learned, and thank you for joining the Soho Insight podcast.